each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome on this feast of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I think I've got a lot to talk about. And Tony, you made it. I knew you'd get in here. I thought you were... How are you? I got to put you on the... There you go. You on?
Sorry, Father.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. You're here. That's
I'm
important.
Here. Yes, I'm the general area.
It's just always odd when there's not somebody here, yeah. You know, like the line, yeah. What was it? Maybe Friday. You didn't come, mm-hmm. You know? And so I was by myself. It wasn't by myself because we've got our listeners, right?
But I sense it. It's just that person in front of me.
Well, Nick was there, too.
Right.
Nick was here, so, yeah.
It's good. When he came in, it was good because then it became
Well, he didn't
the,
come in.
Didn't he?
No.
Okay.
Not on Friday.
This was last Friday?
Last Friday, yeah. Or you probably didn't know we were on the air.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, you're here, so okay. Thank God, you know.
Yeah.
And, well, today's the feast of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I've really been reflecting on what we're doing here, mm-hmm. what she's doing, I want to say, the Blessed Virgin Mary is doing, and I think I wrote this in this letter this past week, but I think we're we're further defining the mission of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, this St. Stanislaus Kostka. We're in our Jubilee year. It's interesting, all these things are happening. We're in the 150th Jubilee year. This is the 100th year since the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary in at Fatima, and I do think that it's there's something to be said for that. It seems to me that her prophetic message is as pertinent today as it was 100 years ago, maybe even more so. And but before I go into that, I want to make an announcement because I'm really happy about this. I'm really really excited about this. Actually, a year ago, I wanted to. And I've probably mentioned this before. I say this, how many times do I say this on the show? You know, I've probably mentioned this before, but a year ago I had just come out of surgery and I was recuperating. I was away for 2 months and then really didn't do much of the radio during the time that I was going through the chemotherapy. When I came back, I thought that I would be able to do everything, but I couldn't. My body was just so debilitated. But one of the things that I wanted to do, and I thought about it often during the 2 months that I was away, was that I wanted, as a way of, as an expression of gratitude to people for their prayers, because I couldn't believe just the masses and the novenas and the rosaries and the letters, the cards, they came. I mean, I felt like, I didn't think that many people knew me, you know, mm-hmm. So I felt like a superstar almost, you know, and but no, I was really humbled by that. I thought, well, what can I do to express some gratitude? And so I thought, you know, what would be nice is if we had here on a regular basis, you know, like let's say every first Saturday, a Eucharistic Mass of healing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And so that was my intention. But when I got back, and as I was going through the chemotherapy, the body was just didn't... wouldn't allow it to be. So this year, I feel much better, and we've just opened up a parish Facebook. So we've got the Facebook for the Winds of Change, mm-hmm. And we've also got now this parish Facebook that some of our young parishioners, or they have to be the young ones, have worked up for us. They've built it or whatever.
You don't know.
Well, you know, I don't know what it is about me, but I'm not into the social.
I'm not either.
What do they call that? Social media or social networking, right, or whatever? Yeah, I have no desire for it. I have too much going on in my life as it is, and too much going on in my head as it is that I need.
It's funny. I think older people, and I don't mean to say it that way.
No, but you're right.
There's no need for this. I mean, they live and die by that. It's like
they live and die by it.
It's true.
You're exactly right. And are you on Facebook?
No,
you're not either.
Don't know anything about that. Angelica does that, and I just stay away from it.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to people doing that, but I can't carry a phone around with me. The only time I do is when I'm in Rochester, because I have to make contact with people from the hospital, and so I need the telephone. But I cannot. I can't have that phone with me. I just can't. So I don't carry it with me. In fact, I don't even check to see if I have messages, because not too many people know my telephone number. So those who do, and sometimes people find the number somehow or another. And I found, you know, one time I was going to for a house blessing, and I had my phone number. I had the telephone because I wasn't sure exactly where it was. I had an address, but I don't have one of those gizmos in the car where you can, you know, I try to figure things out myself. You know, I'm not going to have a voice. And that is, by the way, that's kind of irritating to me too, because a lot of the people that I know, and usually this is only when I'm in. Well, I'll just say I'm going to name Oscar, for instance, but you know, because he's in Rochester. But Beata as well, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm in their car, and you know, so they've got this what do they call that? It tracks where you're going.
Yeah, the Garmin,
whatever they call it. But it's really fascinating. But that voice is it's constantly, you know, I want to say, you know, can you
turn left?
Turn left, exactly.
In the next 100 feet.
And when I was with the sisters, they had one too. And so that was in Spanish, you know, in Espanol.
GPS.
So I it's a good thing, I think, you know, and maybe I need one, you know.
Oh, no, I'm going to tell you it's not a good thing.
Okay, maybe
I'm
not.
And share a story with this just happened on Sunday.
Tell me, okay.
Okay, we were trying to find a place, and, you know, as a husband and wife, you're going to have, I know exactly where that's at. Let me do it. No, we'll put it in the little, you know, machine, and they'll tell us exactly how to go there.
Wife.
Well, in my mind, I knew exactly what it was.
Sure.
I knew how to get there. But this thing takes us on the expressway, then takes us off the expressway, and takes us the long way around.
Really?
And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I knew exactly where this was.
That's only cab drivers do that.
Exactly. And I'm like, what is the point of this? Just do what you normally do before all this.
Well, maybe they were trying to avoid the traffic.
No, this is supposed to take you the fastest way, and it did not.
Well, no, but you know what I find, and it is fascinating, you know, but talk about Big Brother. I mean, you know, I say, how could people not believe in God today when you've got these machines that seem to have the supreme knowledge, and so they can tell you, you know, that you're gonna miss, you're gonna lose 10 minutes here because there's a congestion on the expressway. So I'm gonna divert you to this place, you know, and you get to anyway. It's fascinating, but I'm too old-fashioned, I think.
Yeah,
you know, I don't
same.
Want all that stuff. I like, you know what I like? Just peace and quiet, silence. And so for that reason, I don't carry the phone. I don't have a GPS, but maybe I should. And there's great good in that, don't get me wrong. But anyway, so how do we divert into that? what was the... Oh, so the talking about phone numbers...
Right.
So I had, I was trying to find this place. I didn't know exactly if I had the right address. So I had the phone number to the family. So I called their telephone, they said, "Okay, you're close, and this is where you go." And okay, so I did that. So some months later, I got a call from this person, and I thought, "Well, how does she get my phone number? How did she get my phone number?"
Right.
And I realized just calling from my telephone number automatically puts it out there, right? So
I'll never forget when I first got my phone, because I was years behind everyone else had one.
And
already,
you still are, yeah.
And yet I still am years behind. There was a setting in there where you could set it so they don't know who's calling. Now I do believe that you can't do that anymore. It's a matter of the minute you make that call, they know who you are and they can call you right back.
Well, for me, it would be too hard to figure out how to do that anyway. So
that's why, see, I have 3 different phones that I switch on people so they don't keep calling.
Do you know? And this was kind of, I'd say, a little bit embarrassing to me, but. I was at a provincial chapter. We have every 3 years, all the priests from my province get together, and everybody had computers. I did not. I didn't have a computer. I didn't feel the need for a computer. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
This is back in probably right before, because I didn't get a computer until right before I went on my sabbatical. So it was right really before we began the radio.
That's when they became like, you know, cell phones. They're cheap. When they first came out, they were, you know, whenever somebody had a computer, it's like, wow, okay. They were a lot more expensive. Now they're just like disposable.
Yeah, they're indispensable.
Yeah,
they're disposable and indispensable, yeah. Right? So, and I can't believe it. So I was the only one there, and everybody, you know, you're tuned into your computers. And now, by the way, thank God it was kind of providential that I, because I was head of the election committee for the province. So this past provincial chapter, it happens every 3 years. That was when my lung collapsed, which was providential because it meant I didn't have to go to the chapter, you know, because I was in the hospital. And thank God, because I was head of the election committee, and they decided the week before or something that they were going to do it all electronically.
Wow.
Either through the computer, the telephone, or whatever. So I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. So God spared me, you know. But anyway, and again, I don't know why we got into that. Telephones, technology, or whatever, but I do want to. Oh, so I have to say, I wanted to make this announcement. Facebook. It goes back. Okay, I see how we get back to where I started. So we've got because that's the point. I don't go into the Facebook. So we've got a parish Facebook. I've never gone into it. We've got it, and maybe you have to have Facebook to go into. Do you? I guess you have to have Facebook. Oh. Huh?
My mic's off. Yeah,
your mic.
It's playing. I heard the snap.
Technology. See?
Yeah.
The devil's. Somebody's angry with us now. Now I'm. Hey, can you guys hear that over there? Because we're talking about technology. Can you hear me?
Okay.
But Tony's got a problem.
Sorry.
Static. Anyway, you don't. Do you know what you're doing? We'll spend the whole show trying to figure out this system over here. But anyway, so I don't go into the Facebook, but we've got a parish Facebook. He's got a static coming. I don't know if it's going through the radio or if it's just coming into the studio. But you can hear me, Tony, huh? Okay.
Can't speak. There we go.
Okay, now we're set. Nick comes to the rescue. Okay.
That's the technician right there.
We're good for nothing as far as I... Well, there it goes again. Yeah. You better stick around, Nick.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
It's good.
All right. So I don't go into the Facebook, but I get a printout.
Mm-hmm.
Since we've opened the parish Facebook, I've been just amazed at the need that has come through, you know, people asking for prayers. A lot of it is health issues. It could be family problems. It might be work-related. Certainly prayers for peace. But it's just been amazing. And so what it's done is it's re-inspired within me the need. Because we said we're going to have that every Saturday, mm-hmm. when I celebrate Mass, I'm going to present these petitions to the Lord. Then I decided, you know, why just on Saturday? I'm going to make this part of my personal prayer. And it's, you know, as I was telling somebody, or I think I wrote it, I wrote a little note to the Facebook, and I said, when I go to prayer, it's as if Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary are waiting for these petitions. Maybe you think that's odd, but it creates a certain connection, a certain kind of intimacy with these people who are asking for these prayers. And so I'm happy to receive them, And in prayer, I bring them, you know, as part of my prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, and as I pray the rosary, I mention each of these by name. I say, you know, for instance, let's say you were asking for prayers for your mother, God rest her soul. I would say, you know, Tony Snell is asking, he's asking prayer. He's asking, you know, healing, or he's asking for peace, or he's asking for a sense of well-being for his mother, you know, or for the repose of her soul, or whatever, that she has a share in your risen life, or whatever. So it really is a very, I want to say powerful, but a very consoling experience for me. So what I've decided, though, in addition to this, is to go back to what I wanted to do last year, and that is that on the first Saturday of the month that we would offer a Eucharistic healing mass. Every mass every mass is a healing mass, if we're really open to the grace of the sacrament. Healing comes in a wide variety of ways. You know, it may not be necessarily that the one receives a physical healing, but one might certainly receive a spiritual healing or a peace that, or strength that gives them the ability to endure with whatever it is they're suffering, or maybe even bring some meaning and purpose into their suffering, create a deeper sense of compassion or empathy for others. But anyway, so coming Saturday, we're going to have, not this Saturday, but the first Saturday of September, and I don't remember the date. I think it's 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe the 10th, the 9th or the 10th of September. It's the first Saturday of September. We're going to offer our first, and I'm hoping to do this every first Saturday, that we would have a Eucharistic healing mass, which means that we would begin at 4:30 with a rosary, offer the rosary for the sick and the suffering, and then the mass at 5:00, and then following the mass, we would have Eucharistic adoration, exposition, with the Divine Mercy Chaplet and prayers for the sick, and then I'd like to do a Eucharistic procession through the church. It's not as if it is, you know, Christ in his Eucharistic presence, you know, walking among the people, and then provide the opportunity for the anointing of the sick, which is really one of the very beautiful sacrament the Lord has given us. We get this from the letter of St. James: if there's any sick among you, let them call for the priests of the church, and let them lay hands and anoint them with oil, and they will be saved, and their sins will be forgiven. So I'm announcing now officially, you know, so we should maybe, Armin can get something on the, a little spot on the radio between now and then, telling you now, Armin. So, but that's what I want to do. I'm very excited about that. I've been wanting to do this for some time, and so now I think this is the time to do it. So we'll be calling people from Chicago, you know, let it out, let the word out that if there is a need for healing, that we will offer this Eucharistic healing mass on the first Saturday of September, hopefully every first Saturday at the same time. So there's a certain consistency to all this. All right, we got to take a break. And by the way, before we do that, and I do ask, speaking of the sick, I was yesterday evening, I went to anoint a woman, Maria Marquez. If you could just keep her in your prayer, you know. There's so many people who need prayers, but she's just a lovely woman, a very beautiful woman, a very beautiful spirit, and a very kind family. Her children are all there at the hospital, and they're just, you know, people who deserve. When I say people who deserve, does not everybody deserve the healing touch of God's Spirit, that they be enveloped in His peace? We would certainly hope so, but there are certain people that just seem to be disposed. They seem to be the humble, the innocent, and you hate to see them. hate to see anybody suffering, but in any case, so just if you just keep Maria Marquez in your prayers, and so many others as well, all those who have asked for our prayers. All right, we will take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
First, it was Hurricane Harvey devastating the people of Texas, who are now trying to rebuild their lives. Then, Florida was hit with Hurricane Irma, leaving destruction in its wake. The people of these states will need our help for many months or even years to come. How can you help? The first thing to do is to pray for our brothers and sisters who have suffered during these storms. Then, make a donation to Catholic Charities USA Hurricane Relief, where 100% of your donations will go to help with the needs of life, healthcare, and to rebuild their communities. Visit CatholicCharities.org. That's CatholicCharities.org, where you can donate online, by phone, or text. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago. And find peace and healing. In 1867, Andrew Johnson was President of the United States, and St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, was established in Chicago. Today, St. Stanislaus Kostka is celebrating serving the faithful for 150 years with a Jubilee dinner Sunday, October 22nd at 1 p.m., held at the Union League Club of Chicago at 65 West Jackson. Make your reservation before Sunday, October 8th. For complete details to reserve and pay for your tickets online, visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. Celebrate the 150th anniversary of the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka by joining us for dinner at 1 p.m. at the Union League Club of Chicago, Sunday, October 22nd.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us. Today is the Feast of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And, you know, I tell you, I was writing. I'm always writing. There's always something I'm having to prepare for. But I was, because we're in the Jubilee year, so this is the 150th year of the founding of the parish. This was a historic church because it was the first Polish parish. And became one of the largest, some say the largest, number-wise, people-wise, parish in the world from the 19th into the 20th century. 4,000 school students in our school, 70 sisters teaching, and just the history is phenomenal. Of course, things have changed, and when the expressway came in, you know, it caused a major change in the neighborhood. People were going northwest, up Milwaukee Avenue, down into up into the Niles area of Chicago, and we've just been going through all kinds of changes. Even in the 27 years that I'm here, there's just been so much change in the neighborhood. But the parish has, I'd say, by God's providence, miraculously survived the Chicago Fire. And I think 1871, was that the Chicago Fire? 1871. It survived the Kennedy Expressway because it was supposed to be demolished, raised. It survived, Well, right as we began the radio in 2008 or 9, I think 2009, it's hard to believe, still got a problem with mic. But anyway, because our trusses were, there was a defect in the trusses, and so there was, the roof was going to collapse, and so they wanted to close the church, but I say miraculously, by divine providence, we were able to stay open, and we got what we needed. Is it the problem with me, huh? Okay, go ahead. Okay, Nick, I'm sorry. I can't do too. I'm not very. So Nick
get easily distracted.
Yeah.
Hey, it's back.
I guess it is my microphone. Okay. So
yeah. Test. Nick, everything's good.
The technician is here. He's working.
That's
we're
his
talking.
Best.
I can't talk and chew gum at the same
time.
Sure,
you can. You just got to pay attention. Look at me.
There you are. Okay,
look at the keys, Christina.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was writing another rendition of the history of the parish, and I have to say, and it always bothers me a little bit, but it didn't from the beginning, or maybe it did, but I felt that I had to say this, because if I didn't say it, I wasn't being true to what was happening to me, or what I felt in the deep recesses of my soul. But in any case, so going back even to 1999, I was making the consecration of my life to the Blessed Virgin Mary, because I wanted to deepen my priestly consecration, and I just kind of intuitively knew that this was the best way to do it, as we Catholics do, you know, because she's our mother. She's our mother. And so we have a certain affection, a deep affection, really, for the Mother of God, the Mother of the Messiah. Jesus is God in the flesh. And so we hold her so close to ourselves. You know, it's interesting when people say, I've heard this said, you know, that you Catholics, you know, you exaggerate the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the life of the Church. And I'll make reference to Luke's Gospel when Jesus is in a crowd and a woman cries out and says, "Blessed the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you." And he says, no, he says, rather, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And I've heard it said a few times, people have said, well, you know, you see there, Jesus puts his mother in her place. Well, you know, even to say that sounds so disrespectful, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To the mother of Christ, the mother of God. And I said, not on the contrary. I said, he's raising her up. And he said, of course, she's blessed because she gave me birth, because she bore me in her womb and she gave me birth and she raised me. She took care of me. She nurtured my life. She taught me everything, you know. This is, you know, imagine that. You know, God entrusted himself to this woman who was predestined in history. This woman would emerge in history, and she would bear God in the flesh. So, absolutely, that's a no-brainer. She's blessed because she bore him in her womb, and she gave birth to God in the flesh. But, so... that's a no-brainer. Jesus didn't have to say, oh, yes, that's true, because, you know, of course. But he says, no. He says, blessed those who hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, look at her. She's blessed because she bore me, gave me birth, nurtured my life, but she's most blessed because she heard the word of God and she kept it. And you do the same. You do the same. In other words, we raise her up, we look at her in order not only to imitate her faith, her yes, her fiat, the surrender, the entrustment of our lives to Almighty God, to do his will, to be servants of the Lord, you know, who through her and we've been really adopted into the family. You know, God the Father sent his only begotten Son in order to adopt us into this family. And he gave us, that was the last thing Jesus did before the great gift of our salvation, is he entrusted to the church his mother. This is your mother. He says, woman, these are your children. And this is all happening at the cross, because John represents, this beloved disciple represents the beloved disciples of Almighty God, of Jesus. We are, by virtue of baptism, his disciples. We're disciples who are loved by God, even if we're steeped in sin. I say the one power God doesn't have, he's all powerful, right? Mm-hmm. But one power he doesn't have, I hope I'm not being heretical when I say this, but the one power he doesn't have is that he cannot not love us. God cannot not love us. And because of love, he can't force us to respond or to submit or surrender or entrust our lives to him and to the mystical body, the church. You know, but he'll give us sufficient grace, but he, at the end of all things, he can't force us to do what we choose not to do. Makes sense, doesn't mm-hmm. it? Otherwise, it wouldn't be love.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to force us, but he's certainly going to, but he loves us so much that he's going to do all he can to win us over to himself. And he did, he took love to the extreme. He laid down his life, you know, from the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And she was there.
Mm-hmm.
She was there. She was giving birth to her children, the fulfillment of prophecy. The prophet Isaiah said that the daughter Zion, her mother Israel, in one moment's time would give birth to children she never conceived. And so Mary is there at the foot of the cross in the pain of labor, giving birth to the messianic people she never, these children she never conceived. These were her spiritual progeny, if that makes any sense. So today we celebrate her queenship, but so we imitate her. But she's in a powerful way she intercedes on our behalf. And so the church has declared her a queen of heaven and earth, queen of the Second Vatican Council calls her queen of the universe. But this queenship goes back all the way nearly to the beginning. It developed and deepened over the centuries, but already certainly in sacred scripture, you know, in the book of Revelation, the heavens opened and the Ark of the Covenant appeared, and then afterwards, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and the crown of 12 stars. Even as I say that, I'm looking right here at the image of our iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign, Ark of Mercy, which is one of the oldest images or icons of the Blessed Virgin Mary, refined to, it's a three-dimensional. The old icons were one-dimensional. But the icon, which is the largest monstrance in the world right here in our church, was sculpted right here. We created this image to reflect that biblical passage from the book of Revelation. And she's emerging from the Ark of the Covenant, which was a sign to the people that God was with them. And in the Ark, these were the Israelites as they were carrying the Ark through the desert as a sign that God was with them. And inside the Ark was the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven that sustained them on the journey. There was the rod of Aaron, the high priest, and the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And so these are all symbols of God. It's all a prefiguration, a preparation for the messianic moment in time when God would take on flesh, take his flesh from that of this woman, the woman who was prophesied in the book of Genesis from the very beginning after the fall, that this woman would emerge in history and her seed, her offspring, would crush the head of the serpent, the head of the devil. He would conquer sin and death. And so the Ark of the Covenant, which was a sign that God was with the people, disappeared after the destruction of the temple in 287 BC or 286 BC, the temple was destroyed, the ark disappeared, and it was never found. That, and the people were sent into exile. They lost their status as a nation. They were exiled into Babylon and other places. A generation later, keeping true to his promise through the prophet Habakkuk, the people return to Jerusalem. It's no longer the nation. They're given permission to rebuild the temple. The people are now under the dominion of the Persians, King Cyrus. They're able to rebuild the temple, and they do, but the ark is not there, and that was a sign to them that God was with them. And so they were in vigilant prayer for 70 times 7 years, 490 years. As we know from the prophet Daniel, and 490 years later was when the Annunciation happened, and God, you know, came to, through the angel Gabriel, came to Mary, announcing that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. They call her Caritomene, you full of grace, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And she said, well, how can this come about? And said, no, not man. And the angel said, but by the grace and the power of the Spirit. And she just simply said, yes, let it be done unto me as you have said. And she conceived in her womb the Christ, the Messiah, God, the second person of the Trinity, a Trinitarian God, three persons in one God, as revealed through a sacred scripture. She conceives God in her womb. Now, who is God but the giver of the law? He would make himself bread for the journey, the hidden manna, bread for the journey, and he is the supreme high priest. And so she bears him. So in the image we have in the church, she is this image of Our Lady, taken from the book of Revelation, is emerging from the ark. She is a new ark. The ark now has returned, but in the flesh and blood body of this woman, and crowned with, she has a crown of 12 stars. She's a bridge between the old and the new covenant. You know, the old covenant was built on the 12 tribes, and the new covenant, the church, the mystical body, built on the pillar of the 12 apostles. And so there she's the bridge between the link between the old and the new covenant. She's Mother Israel, and Daughter Zion, and Mother of the Church, or as the Church defines her, Queen of the Universe. And Queen, it's interesting because on the top of the Ark, I hope I'm not confusing you, but the top of the, so when the Ark was in the temple, the priest would go in, I think it was once a year, and he would sprinkle blood on the, what they called the Kaporet, or the mercy seat, which was the top of the ark. And he would do that in expiation for the sins of the people. Well, again, that was a prefiguration, a preparation for the Messiah, Christ, who would be he who did not sin, because you had to have, even the sacrifice, there had to be an unblemished lamb. And this is all in keeping with the ancient tradition. So Jesus, all this culminates in the messianic moment when God the Father would send his Son as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He was without blemish, without stain. And that's why when Pilate presented Jesus before the people and he said, I find no wrong in this man. This man is innocent. And they say, you know, crucify him because, well, that's the one. He's the Lamb. He has no, you know, they're not conscious of what's going on. But so he's on the cross, the altar of the cross, the Kaporet, the mercy seat, the blood is sprinkled. And she's there at the foot of the cross. You can imagine the blood of the Lamb is being spilled all over her body, even after the Lord has taken off the cross, after his death, he's placed in her arms. So she, in a sense, she's the ark that receives, or she is the ark, but the altar that receives the blood of the Lamb, the mercy seat. So if you can understand this in Israel, the king, his wife was not the queen. It was his mother who was the queen. And she stood alongside her son, the king, and she was the interceder there at the mercy seat. She was basically mercy for the people because she would intercede on behalf of the people. So are you with me on that? So mm-hmm. the Blessed Virgin Mary is in the church because Jesus is King of Kings. He's the King of the, you know, the behold the King, right? Mm-hmm. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom has come, but it's not fully realized. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Lord of History. And she, being the mother of the King, is Queen Mother, who intercedes on behalf of her children. So leave it there, and then we'll come back and go back to what I was trying to say about specifically what's happening here. Mm-hmm. At here in the heart of Chicago, along the Kennedy Expressway, you know. All right, so don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm okay. Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing on first Saturday afternoon starting at 4:30. Find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago. And find peace and healing. In 1867, Andrew Johnson was President of the United States, and St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, was established in Chicago. Today, St. Stanislaus Kostka is celebrating serving the faithful for 150 years. With a Jubilee dinner Sunday, October 22nd at 1 p.m., held at the Union League Club of Chicago at 65 West Jackson. Make your reservation before Sunday, October 8th. For complete details to reserve and pay for your tickets online, visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. Celebrate the 150th anniversary of the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka by joining us for dinner at 1 p.m. at the Union League Club of Chicago, Sunday, October 22nd.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us. So what does this have to do with us here? As I was saying early on, if you're following me, I really tend to be all over the place, but I just speak as things come to my head.
That's good.
I was writing again a rendition of the history of the parish, and this is a very beautiful history that we have here, 150 years. And
But I say, you know, in writing, today we're more likened to the small band of disciples to whom the risen Lord appeared in the upper room in the cenacle, breathing his spirit into their lives, empowering them to go forward in faith with courage and in peace, his emissaries to the world. Now, even in that novena of prayer from the ascension of Jesus to Pentecost, the Blessed Virgin was with the apostles. So there's two renditions, or there's two, you know, the breathing of the Spirit into the apostles in the upper room on the eighth day, the octave, which is the Feast of the Divine Mercy. But then there's also the outpouring of the Spirit that comes 9 days after the Ascension. That's where we get the novena of prayers, 9 days with the apostles. As Scripture says, the apostles are there, and with them is the Blessed Virgin Mary. So she's with them in prayer for 9 days, interceding as the Church is being born, you know, on the Feast of Pentecost. So if I say, you know, the turn of the century from the 19th to the 20th, we were one of the, if not the largest parish in the world, people-wise. You know, again, the statistics are just phenomenal. So I'm not going to go into them right. I've done it before on the radio, but it's just, 50,000 people in the parish and 4,000 students in the school, 70 sisters, and I know 50,000, I'm sorry, 50,000 people baptized, wow. Infants baptized in a matter of, I think, 10 or 15 years, mm-hmm. 50,000. But 8,000 families in 1892, for instance, in the parish. So in any case, that's why so many parishes were born from this one. So today it's very different. I mean, very different. We're just, as I say, we're just a small band of disciples to whom the risen Lord appeared in the upper room in the cenacle. But today's a new day, a new time. The risen Lord is the same now as he was 2,000 years ago. He's the same today as he was 150 years ago when permission was given to build a sanctuary on this property, Noble Street, a couple of blocks from Plank Street, which long since has been named Milwaukee Avenue, today alongside the expressway. Should have been raised, the church, but the people fought. Divine Providence, I always say Our Lady intervened to save the parish for a purpose, for a reason. And so in writing this, I wrote this again, saying, and I always hesitate because, you know, and maybe even as you're listening, you think, well, you know, this is my delusion. But I couldn't hold it back even when it happened because it was so real to me, and it keeps becoming. I mean, it keeps coming back to me in a real way. But I said something rather simple yet dramatic happened in the parish nearly 20 years ago. That was in 1999. The Blessed Virgin Mary, and it was right about at this time, mm-hmm. In this month. And I wonder, and I wasn't conscious of it at the time, if it wasn't on this day, on this feast day. Because I was in the midst of my own consecration, the consecration of my life to the Blessed Virgin, to Jesus through Mary, through the Blessed Virgin. And I was in prayer. The parish was falling apart. The building was dilapidated. I mean, I don't know if you remember, Tony, but there was just so many problems.
Everything all at the same time.
The roof was coming apart. Plaster was falling in the church. And I had been trying for many, many months to try. I've been trying to get help. I wrote grant, you know, wasted so much time writing grants, trying to get grant money. I had called the archdiocese. But it had been 4 months since I'd asked anything from anybody. And, I had other work to do, and I had done everything I could do. I'd exhausted all the possibilities, at least as I understood at that time. And we had this huge wind, and part of the roof, the tiles mm-hmm. blew off and fell on some cars, damaged the cars on Evergreen because the street is right alongside the church. And so I remember going into prayer. It was the mercy hour, and I would make the holy hour at that time in my little chapel. And I went in feeling completely exhausted, tired, like I don't want to be here anymore. I can't do this. It's too big for me. It's an impossible endeavor to try to maintain and sustain this old church, you know, in a rapidly changing community where new people in the area don't come to Mass, they don't have any regard for the church. We're losing people in droves overnight because they're being forced out of the neighborhood. So I went into that prayer just feeling completely exhausted and dispirited, so to speak. And I was just, in the prayer, and really at that point saying nothing. I was just there. And, I mean, I heard this beautiful voice, this wonderful voice, and I knew immediately who it was. Mm-hmm. And she said, give me the parish, make me mother and queen of the parish. And I did. I say it was simple, yet dramatic, but I did. I didn't question. I knew that it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. I didn't see her. I didn't need to see her. But I certainly heard her voice. Was it an interior voice? I think it was. But I heard it. I heard it. And it was very clear and very beautiful, very beautiful. And I says, okay, I give you the parish. I make you mother and queen of the parish, And 3 days later, and then I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. I just, okay. But I have to say, when I did that, I felt free. I felt this freedom. I felt this peace. I felt like it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. I'll stay on. And 3 days later, I got a call from the Archdiocese, and they said, we want to inform you that you've been awarded $1 million grant
wow.
to begin immediately the repair of the church. Well, what do you think? I thought, well, that's something Our Lady worked out. She did this. And so if you remember that mm-hmm. Sunday, I told the people, I said, I had no qualms about it at all. I said, Our Lady came to me, the Blessed Virgin Mary came to me. She said, make me mother and queen of the parish. I did. I gave her the parish. I just simply consecrated the parish to her. I said, you are mother. You are our mother. You are our queen. I give it to you. And I said, we have now got the means to begin immediately. And they said immediately begin the repairs of the church. And then, of course, I ended up making my consecration on the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross. But that was the beginning of this story that has been,
This story is so beautiful. It should really be in a book.
It was.
It's
exactly right.
Sounds like a mother's plea.
You're right. And that was the other thing, too. That's a whole other story, right?
Yeah.
But the reason why I say it is because, as I said as I was writing this rendition of the history, mm-hmm. that it's that something is happening quite slowly, quite painfully, very painfully, not quite yeah. painfully, very painfully, yet quite joyfully, as, as we've, this was, now we're talking almost 20 years,
yeah.
and we've been struggling all along, but she's never let us down, never let us down. It's a rather mysterious thing. And so when I was writing this morning, I was thinking, people must think I'm crazy or I'm nuts.
No.
But, because who am I and what do we have to show for ourselves? Well, we have a beautiful church. We have a church that is open 24/7 because that was at her command as well. Open those doors. Open the doors. Open the doors. I will not permit the cacophony, the rude noise of the world to shout into silence the voice of the living God.
And we are the only church, I think, that is open 24 hours.
So, by the way, yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that, because when I went to the anoint this woman yesterday, a very wonderful woman, the family was there, and they didn't know, you know, who I was, where I came from. And I said, you know, I'm from St. Stanislaus Koska. They're from the south side. I said, I'm on the north side, right off the Kennedy Expressway. And how did you know? I said, well, somebody called me and said, this woman is very, very sick, your mother. And so I came. And they said, oh, they were so happy. Because they said they were trying to get a priest the other day. And they said everybody was busy. So what? Everybody's busy there. Wow. You know, too busy to go and anoint somebody who is in a very grave situation. So as we were talking, and then of course I have what she has. Mm-hmm. I've got the same kind of cancer. And that was a source of great consolation for them as well. And so as we were talking, the her son said to me, he says, wait, he says, you're from the church that's open all the time? I said, yeah, we're open all the time. He said, I just clicked into the Facebook.
Wow.
I mean, he was kind of amazed by that. Mm-hmm. Now, who would have thought? He says, I just happened to, and I didn't ask how, you know, or why or whatever, but or how people do that, but he says, I just went into the Facebook and I saw this parish. I thought, I'd like to go to this place, you know? And see, I'll hear.
These are stories written.
Sure.
Daily. And this is the thing that kind of, and if I could just interject for a few minutes, going back to the person that says, oh, you talk about yourself. We've been with you from the very beginning with this, and people in the parish. And again, I always, and you've said this so many times, no matter what we may be feeling at the time, we may be having the best time in life, but there's always someone that is not. And see, that's what I love in, you know, about you and just knowing about what's going on with this parish like we're doing now. These stories are they say there's no coincidence, but God, you know,
God incidents. Something like that, whatever.
This is the perfect, how, look at how this all falls in play. He heard about us being open, and then he tapped in, and here you come. This is only the fabric of what God does.
And it happens all the time.
It happens, you know, all the time, and people do not know. And that's why we're stiff-necked so much.
Stiff-necked,
yeah. Well, it's a matter of, okay, it's about what I want at this time, so I don't want to hear about this, or I don't want to hear about that. But it's the Spirit of God that it's done.
And you have to obey and
be
give witness. Give witness. See, this is the thing that when I think, okay, you know, people, because you mentioned a mother's plea. I mean, I wrote a whole book on this.
Right.
So many things that happened, you know, and that in the course of those years, so many things happened that everybody saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't anything like the spinning of the sun or anything like that.
Right.
I don't deny that fact. But these were just, you know, you couldn't put this story together. This is, mm-hmm. you know, and in a very simple, yet and painful, but joyful way. This is the Blessed Virgin. You know, so she says, you know, this is my story.
Mm-hmm.
This is my story, and you're going to write this story. And the story, we continue to write it. And it was going to get into a whole other thing, maybe Thursday. Is that it? We're out of time.
That's it.
Anyway, but we got to share the story.
Yeah.
This is giving witness, you know. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And God is with us. God has our back. And Our Lady, you can't separate the mother from the son.
Exactly.
You know? So we'll come back to this Thursday. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search?